Right.
Somebody missed him.
Yeah, I remember that. That's my joint, though.
It's been an hour since you've been gone. Yo, come on, son.
Yo, come on. Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
Yo, but you was right about it. They had black leather on, son.
And it's in a blazing desert.
Right. And I know they had to hydrate at least six, seven times before the first verse was over.
Or so,
Right.
yeah,
So, yeah.
music like that.
The money designer, the drip. Don't got a cap, I'm as real as it get. Bet on myself and I triple the flip. Came from the streets, I'ma stick to the script. We popping bottles like you went a trip. Rather fill up accounts than empty a clip. 10 on the ground, so I never slip. They love you, they hate you, I'm watching them switch. Switch, 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 switch. They hate you, they love you, I'm watching them switch. Switch.
Yee, y'all already know it. It's your boy Chance. Got a special one today. Got my man Giovanni Pratt
Yep.
in the house.
What's good? What's good? What's good, world?
If y'all been watching the show, which you should, it's another member of the We the Heart Music.
Ow, ow. You know?
Know what I mean? Don't think you know they got a stronghold on us that we just interviewing We the Heart people, but it's all fam. It's always been fam. So, like we were talking about before, y'all guys didn't get to hear. So your first love, you said, was poetry.
Of course, man. It was a with words, it was poetry. With music, it was R&B. I'm a real big R&B fan. A lot of people get shocked by that. Like they clutch their pearls, like, oh my God, what you mean? Like that's what I was introduced to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like the Patti LaBelles, the you know what I'm saying? Like the Sade's, all that R&B stuff, man. I grew up on it, man. The Chucky Bookers, why you wanna play your games on me? Why you wanna play? You know what I'm saying? Like I like stuff like that.
Yeah. You showed your age too because you said clutch the
Yeah,
pearls.
hey, look, man.
A lot of people don't know what that means, you know what I mean?
Look at the gray. You know what I'm saying?
No, but
I'm in the house.
it's crazy because if you watched, I think I don't know if it was Yabe or Rico's, might have been Yabe's, but was it Camo's? I don't know which one it was, but I used to dig poetry obviously first because of Pac, but I was a big R&B dude too. Like I used to sing a little bit back in the day. So
Uh-oh.
I had a high school group and I used to call it Simple Pleasure. So we said so after you went to the dance, I mean I was the worst at all of them, but they were nice. They were like nice. But after the high school dances, or it was the middle school dances, I think it was middle school dances. After the middle school dances, you know, when everybody gathered up, you know what I'm saying, after everything's all done, lights is on, we would go into the hallways, whatever, and we'd just be singing.
See, and y'all probably was getting them, huh?
Yeah, bro.
You
Yeah,
see,
sure
see.
enough. But I ain't keep it. I even had a I even went to vocal lessons with this chick that sung opera.
Oh, word, that's dope.
Because you know I can't talk about it now because of the shit that he's on. But
Yeah, yeah,
I used to be super influenced by R. Kelly, like super influenced.
yeah. Who wasn't, man? Like his second album, R. Kelly. That's my favorite album from him. Well, no, that's third album. 12 Play was the second.
Oh, 12 Play and TP2.com?
Yeah, that was hard. That was
Yeah.
hard.
I mean, anything that R. Kelly did was pretty much fire.
Don't know. That double up wasn't really that good.
I mean, I felt what he was trying to do, but you know, it wasn't Kells.
Yeah. Like once he got to that double up aspect of music, that's when I stopped kind of listening to him. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying?
He was trying to get the super bag.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get the super bag.
I ain't mad. Like, look, man, do whatever you gotta do to get that bag. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I ain't like that Double Up album. There's probably like maybe two songs on there. The joint he had with Usher, and the joint I'm having the bag. That was cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Outside of that, nothing else really.
I feel, but that's not music and music subjective like that, because you might hear a track that I did back in the day with the Peoples and tell God, I don't know, son. That man's ain't it right there. You know what I mean? And it could be vice versa. Then we hear another track about, oh, nah, son was all right. That just wasn't the one before.
I get it. I definitely get it. Like, see, this type of thing. I like to be a fan of the music before I'm the MC of it. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like, that's how I grew up. Like, being a fan of it. Like, critiquing it. Like, oh man, I wish you would have did this instead of that. You know what I'm saying? But
Yeah, I
now,
mean,
as you grow as an MC, you got to kind of be open,
yeah.
and like more forgiving. when it comes to certain things in music. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Because you never know.
That's what's missing now. People ain't fans. It's just business.
Yeah, of course. Like, and then when a person tries to express their fandom, they get played for it. You feel what I'm saying? Like,
or critique.
Yeah.
Because then you're a hater.
Yeah. Oh my God, man. I'm so tired. I'm so sick of hearing that word. It's like that's what's the problem with, like you said, with music today. Like, there's really, and another thing is personality. Like, everybody wants to be a player, pimp. You got to be affiliated with a gang. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's really, really crazy.
Yeah. Just like R&B. R&B ain't R&B. Like, everybody want to be gangsters and singing. That ain't what it is. Like,
right.
you could have your swag. Like, if you about that life, we going to know. Like, I believe Chris Brown, he can throw hands. I believe that. You know what right. I mean? If you about that life, we going to see. Like, you ain't got to let me know. We going to see. But I saw a meme that said, yo, it was Jodeci, one of the best groups of all time. They said, yo, bro, people ain't singing like this no more. Like, people were sitting there, they were singing, and Shorty left the crib for an hour. And Shorty was singing in the desert in leather.
Right.
Somebody missed him.
Yeah, I remember that. That's my joint, though.
It's been an hour since you've been gone. Yo, come on, son.
Yo, come on. Yeah, that's a classic. Yeah. Yo, but you was right about, they had black leather on, son.
And it's in a blazing desert.
Right, and I know they had to hydrate at least 6-7 times before the first verse was over. Right.
So, yeah, music ain't like that no more.
Yeah, like, you know what else I miss about hip-hop, man? I miss the diversity of it, man. Remember back in the day, we used to be able to go to Sam Goody, right?
And
we used to be able to have to, like, choose. Like, yo, we could either get the Mobb Deep, we can get the De La Soul, you know what I'm saying? Tribe Called Quest, or we can get the Ghostface Killah.
LL Cool J, Mace.
Right. You see what I'm saying? Like,
Wu-Tang. We had
choices. That's my son right there. You see? He got me here.
Yeet, what's up, bro?
Yeah, man. Say hello. Say hi.
Oh. What up?
You gotta go to sleep, man. I'm doing an interview, okay? No, you gotta go. Come on. Kisses. No, dude, you gotta go. Come on. Come on. You gotta go. Yeah, you know how that go. They be rebellious sometimes, man.
Yeah, I love it, though. The girl too fast.
Yeah. Oh, him, he already telling me about the world. You know how that go.
You be annoyed in a minute, but then like 10 minutes passed by, it's been 5 years. You're like, damn.
Oh, damn, right. He already telling me about him texting women. You know what I'm saying? Don't tell Ma that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So when'd you first, like, I'm not gonna say play with it, pause. Like, when did you get like official, like, okay, I'm nice, like it's time to start like really trying to do this?
Ooh. I visited
because we all love rap. We all freestyle, we all did the rapping on the tables in high school. But when did you know, like, okay, it's time to,
which one?
That's my daughter now. You see what I'm saying? Hold on, yo. Here, look. What do you need to charge it for? Yeah, go ahead. There you go.
So good. I can add that part out.
Cool, man. So to answer your question, I went to Downstate. A lot of people don't know this, but my origin of I did everything in hip-hop possibly, except for breakdance.
Okay.
So what I did was I went to Downstate and I visited Traj.
What's Downstate for people that don't know?
Huh?
What's Downstate for people that don't know?
Oh, that's a jail facility in New York City, Downstate. It's a correctional facility.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying for the people.
So it's a correctional facility. And so I visited Tragedy Gaddafi at the time, right?
Yeah.
I didn't have a project out yet, and I spit something for him. And he was like, yo, you dope. I'm like, oh, wow. All right. So for those that don't know who Tragedy Gaddafi is, he's from Queensbridge. He's the founder of Capone and Noriega. He, did some things with Nas. He did some things with, you know, Mobb Deep. So once he said that, I was like, oh wow. You know, Juice Crew legend, you know what I'm saying? One of the youngest in the Juice Crew. So when he critiqued me, he said, yo, you dope, yo. Of course you got a couple of chinks in your armor, but of course you can improve.
Yeah.
But you dope, yo. So that's when I was like, well, yeah, I might want to take this a little further. You feel what I'm saying?
What age was that?
Say again?
What age was that?
Ooh, I think I was 28 at the time.
Okay.
28.
Yeah.
28. Yeah, I'll say about 28. I was definitely out the military, I could tell you that, because people don't notice, but a lot of things that I was doing as a civilian, you can't do it under the military flag.
Bro, like, I was in the military. That's why this shit is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, I couldn't rhyme. I couldn't sell. Like, you know, all of that, selling mixtapes and all that, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? They feel like it's, like, if the government ain't getting their share, it's illegal. You feel what I'm saying?
You know,
it was bad. But, yeah, that when I went to downstate and I sat down there and I spit a couple of lines for him, that's when he was like, yeah, you dope, yo. You dope. So I used him as a measuring stick. Every time I had something like my first single off my second album, I let him hear it. That man texted me back. He said, I don't know who told you to rhyme like this, but keep doing it. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if that comes from a legend, that means I'm doing something right. You feel what I'm saying?
No, definitely. Because similar stories, I think I said it to Rico or Yabe. So I got locked up. Did about 12, well, 11 and a half, because, you know, you do 12, you go up. So I did like 11 and a half in county. They used to call me Chito. I don't know why, I guess because I was Spanish. I learned how to write in jail, because I learned how to write bars. I didn't know what bars were. It was Gamo, actually, I told the story to. I just wrote sentences, like just long paragraphs.
Right. So
that's what I learned. OGs pulled me in the cell one time, no funny shit. And they were like, bro, you nice. Like, you need to make sure you ain't trying to do this as a career in jail, because you need to go out there and do music, whatever. So the jail part is funny, with you going to see bro in jail. The celebrity part is funny, because when I moved to New York, when I went back to New York, and I was started doing like TV and movie shit, I was on Law and Order.
Oh, that's dope.
Started kicking it with Ice-T, playing my music, whatever. Said the same thing. He was just like, yo, you nice, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, at first, I thought it was on some funny shit. Like, yo, he know I work here. Like, he just trying to be nice. Like, you know, he don't want to be mean. Like, I said, you can't really rap. So, you know, whatever.
Right.
I wasn't a daily on Law & Order. Like, I would bounce around to other TV shows and movies and shit. So whenever I would fly back, or come back in like a couple weeks later, whatever, he would see me. And be like, yo, Chance, come in. I come, whatever, whatever. He'd be like, yo, you got any new shit? Like, any new shit I can hear? And I was like, oh, so he actually, for real, like, he really think that I could do this. I said, like, that's dope. I mean, I already had confidence in myself anyway. But the legend part of telling you was like, oh shit, like, a legend. Like, I used to listen to Cat, and he trying to listen to me. You know what I'm saying? Pardon me.
No, you good.
But I was like, so a legend is actually trying to listen to my shit when I was listening to his shit. That's wild. So, you know, they give you the extra confidence.
Yeah, of course, man. Like, also too, man, NY Oil was another one that did it for me. While I was in college, I was working on my first album at the time. Mind you, I was using my Fast for money. You know what I'm saying? I was buying beats. I was in the studio, and I was putting something together to see if I can actually do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I didn't have no features on it at all. So I hit up NY Oil, which is, for those that don't know, that's Cool Kim from the UMCs, you know, Blue Cheese. I don't know. Get up. I don't know. I ain't realized that until me and him got on the phone and we chatted up. So we chatted up. He was like, yo, I like that song. What you want me to do with it? I was like, yo, I just need a hook. You know what I'm saying? I can't afford a verse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he did the hook for me, and he was like, "Yo, like I, that shit is hard, yo." He said, just like he was like, "Yo, I like that." Yeah. He was like, "The thing is I could tell you in raw form, cause you don't, you like, you just spit it. You don't break nothing up. You don't spit it in ball. You don't do none of that. You'll learn that as you go along. Mm-hmm. But you're raw right now, and we like stuff like that to be raw." So just keep improving and keep going and keep getting it right. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. When he told me that, I was like, wow. Then he wanted to put me down with the Petroleum Empire. But when you go into college and you focused on that, you can't be focused on the, like, people don't understand how hard this music industry is, man, and how demanding and how much time it takes up. You can't be in college and trying to do an album and trying to fulfill somebody else's needs while you're trying to get your grades right. You feel what I'm saying? Like, even with Puffy, when he was going to Howard University, look at him, Uptown Records, they like, yo, you can't do both. You don't have to choose. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and we'll pay you. We'll make sure you make more money than you ever dreamed from based off college. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I had to make a choice. And with me, I was kind of scared to fly because it was like, yo, I'm 20, 29 years old, 30 years old. Nobody want to hear from no old school rapper. You know what I'm saying? This is a young man, boy.
Yeah.
This ain't something that where they're gonna immediately accept you.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like paused on it. I still was doing my project, but I paused on it. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, let me see what I could do. Get my college thing done. Once I got that done, I released my project.
Yeah. That's kind of why I paused. Like, well, I semi-retired, I guess, because rappers don't really retire. It's because one, I used to have a studio in the crib. I moved, whatever. I left New York, whatever. And then I messed around and I hit some upgrades on my Mac by accident, and it made my Pro Tools like incompatible. So like,
wow.
So it was done after that. I was like, yo, I'm not spending no two stacks again for no Pro Tools. I'm cool. I'm not trying to be rapping them like that anyway. I'm good. And then, like you said, it's a young man game, and I'm not gonna sound old or whatever, but I just can't rock with what's out now. Like, this is not me.
Yeah.
And since I'm not M status or Nas status, no one's really gonna go and listen. Oh, so this dude really spits though. So I wanna listen to him because he's really spitting. This old cat, I don't even know who the hell he is. I'm gonna listen to him. But you know, I do a little stuff here and there, like for fun, and because like my thing used to be like. First of all, I got rhymes. First of all, I got balls. Second of all, my mixtape series was called Pain and Music. And I kind of got that. I got the name from Cam because he was spitting on, I think, a Dipset joint. And he said, this is Pain and Music. I was like, oh, shit.
I remember that one.
I was like, yo, that's my life. Like, my life had been nothing but pain. And right. I wrote it into music. So I was like, all right, cool. That's my mixtape series. And then I kind of got it from Joe Budden too, because I was a huge Joe fan, because the mood music was crazy.
That mood music too was wonderful. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't care what nobody say about it. I don't care whatever. But float the pen is crazy.
Yeah, yeah. See, the thing with Joe Budden's, man, he's brutally honest, man. He's gonna let you know how he feel about what he feels, and you gotta respect that. Like, I didn't understand like why Wu-Tang members took it to heart so hard. You feel what I'm saying? Because there was a point in time where Method Man could spit some rhymes, but your head wasn't really bopping like that. You know what I'm saying? It was cool.
I think they probably had an issue with him at the time too, though.
What happened?
I think they probably had an issue with him too, because you know Joe was a sniper back then. Like, he was sniping women.
Yeah.
So you know, it had to be some other shit that we didn't know. It wasn't just because he critiqued them. Although some people have really emotional feelings to where you can't say so much, because then they like, you could say, yo, I wasn't really feeling that, it wasn't nice, but when you be like, yo, that shit was trash, that shit was garbage, like, I ain't feeling that shit, like, I don't know why some put that out. Like we critiqued the Kendrick diss, and you know, at first I said trash, but then I kind of later cleaned it up. I was like, I'm not gonna say it's trash, I'm just gonna say it wasn't for me, like,
different.
I didn't feel it, like, I different. Didn't, yeah.
It's different. We come from a different cloth, though. You know what I'm saying? We come from a different cloth.
Yeah. I felt like it was just too long.
Yeah.
Like, it took a long time to get into it. And maybe that's just how I rhyme. Maybe Maybe there was so many different science formulas in it that ain't in my game, so I didn't catch it. But if you if you're doing it, a casual is gonna be like, bro, it been 3 minutes. Like,
right?
What you gonna say?
First of all, people don't even have the attention spans that we had it yesteryear, waiting for the punchlines and the disc to come.
Bro, I don't have it for myself.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. So back in the day, remember the hardest disc we ever heard was Tupac.
Okay, all right, we cool then. I was gonna say, which one you gonna say? All right, cool.
Yeah. Probably be your joint. That was probably the most foulest, hardest joint we ever heard.
First off, fuck your bitch.
Right. See, this is what I'm saying. I ain't never heard nobody start off a diss song like that. Sure. You know what I'm saying?
Pac is my favorite of all time.
Yeah, of course. Because he's the realest. He approached entertainment two ways, man. He approached it politically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was so ahead of his time, bro.
Yeah, but the way he approached it was crazy. Like, I ain't never seen nobody approach it the way he did. He approached it as a human being and politically. He gave you his energy. He was approachable. Yeah. He made it like seem like he was one of those people where you could just walk up to him regularly and say, what's up?
That's why when people do the debate, who's better, Biggie or Pac, I would say, like, if you're going to go to lyrical route, of course, I'm going to give you Biggie.
Of course, Biggie.
But if we're talking about best to me is Pac because of what you said. Like, I felt it. Like,
right.
Like, people say, oh, you know, Pac wasn't a gangster. It don't matter. I felt what he said.
It don't matter.
I'm not a gangster, but when I'm pissed off and I diss or whatever, you're going to feel like I'm not playing. I might not whoop you, but I'm going to try.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like with Pac, that's what I felt. I felt like whatever he felt like he gave, like if it was like on some gang shit, boom, you felt it. If it was on some We Against the World shit, I felt it. If it was, yo, my moms and my sis, I love them, like I felt it.
Right.
Biggie to me, yeah, it's lyrical, but it was just get money, get bitch as fuck.
Right, of course.
Yeah, you know what I mean, I know that's how New York do, but
Big got some great storytelling though.
No, he did. But I'm just saying the majority.
But he was
a fly big cat. You know what I mean?
And it's crazy, but like people, like I saw Biggie in concert.
I never went to a rap concert in my life.
What?
It's crazy, right?
Yeah. No, but you know what's crazy? Here's the thing, though. The only reason why I was able to go is because my aunt was working for BET back in the day. You know when BET was black? Remember that? Yep. Remember that? Mm-hmm. They had Donnie Simpson, the Caribbean Sands with Rachel.
BET Uncut?
Oh, my God, man.
tip drill?
Right. Oh, my. I was in Korea when I first saw that video, and I froze, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy. On TV.
Yo, that dude slid a credit card. Like, I ain't never seen nothing.
That's what everybody remember. They don't remember the lyrics. They don't remember anything. They remember the credit card slide.
Looking like, yo, BET does this.
Yeah, that's true. It was like 12 after, but it was still, yeah, it was still on. It was Cinemax after dark.
Right. Yo, they used to have a crazy movie on
it.
Yo.
It was wicked.
Yo, they even had unfinished joints.
Yo, before we jump back in the music.
Yeah.
What branch?
Air Force.
Okay. You guys a little softer on that side. A little easier.
Look, man, I just was going in there.
No, but you know what's crazy? Is I made this joke, but it's all love. Because my brother-in-law, he's in the Air Force. So I said, oh, man, you guys got cake work. Your PT easy. You get the flights. You get the flight living quarters. But it's hate, though, because you guys get cool shit.
Yeah.
Army don't get that because I was in the Army. Army don't do that. And Marines, you just crazy. Either you go in because you're crazy or you come out crazy. Like, no shade, but they be awesome shit. Like, wow, wicked shit. So Air Force, yo, I used to be jealous of their barracks and their damn living quarters they got after they got stationed and shit. Like, wow, this shit is crazy.
Yo, PT test. Much better, man. Like, I was stationed in Osan, Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We used to share I wouldn't say half, about a quarter of the base. We had a army building, man. And we used to watch y'all line up for PT at 5:30 in the morning. We used to look out the window and laugh our ass off. Like, yo, that could be us. But, you know, we did what we had to do.
You know what's crazy is I could have went to Korea and I probably should have in hindsight, but I was like, nah, I ain't doing that. Because my dad was a drill sergeant, retired a master sergeant. So at the time when I was in basic and AIT and permanent station, he was a drill sergeant. So when they were giving me my shit at the AIT, and all right, cool, we're going to send to Korea. I told my dad, I said, nah, we're not doing that. I ain't going to Korea. I was living in Carolina at the time. I was like, right. The deal we made is I'll go into the Army if I can do my basic here, my AIT here, and get stationed here. So he's all right, let me see what I can do. So there were, luck had it, or universe willing, there was like three people that were assigned in Carolina from their home base was like Virginia or some shit. For some reason, they had three people like stationed there. One was this white cat, Mike Wood. Another one was Jessica, I think. And another one was Sergeant Hernandez, whatever. For some reason, so Sarah? I think Sarah and Mike were interviewing me. Mike was a young cat, like 20, maybe like 22-ish, whatever. Real cool white boy, like Jason Williams, like West Coast, like it's cool as fuck. Interviewed me, got the job because I was young and he was young. So he's like, yo, I need another one. And then there was already two girls in the office. He's like, yo, I need another dude here. So I got that. So I got to stay. But I said, all right, I'm pretty sure Korea might have been fly to check out because I'm never going to Korea.
You're right. But here's the thing, though, right? It was fly for me because I was at Osan.
Mm-hmm.
Osan is like, this is the base right here, right? I don't know if you can see. Like, here's the base right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Across the street was everything we needed. It had all the shops, all the clubs, all of, like, we didn't have to go far for nothing.
Yeah. Now,
we used to get Army dudes. We used to get Army dudes that would come from, I think, like, Camp Red Cloud or something like that. They would come up and take a two-hour bus just to come to Osan. So we really didn't have to go nowhere.
Of course, because you're the Air Force.
Yeah, I mean, right. And it was super lit. As soon as we came out the gate and go across the street, yo, I ain't never seen this before, right? All of those stores that were shops that you could shop in all turned into clubs. I don't know how. You feel what I'm saying? Like, yo, we would walk in there. They'll close the shop down, maybe have something downstairs that we can go to and open up into a big old club. We had something called Juicy Girls, which is number prostitutes. You know how that goes.
That's what I said, like the experience, like now, being an older cat, now I'm 44. So being older now, I understand what traveling is and seeing the world. So as an older man, like now I'm like, damn, that's probably an experience would have been cool that I'm never going to do. Like I'm never going to Korea.
So, oh, man, you could, that's
like, I do want to go to Japan, though.
Oh, see, I've been to Japan, man.
Is it like New York, like they say, like the city?
They rude like New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna be real.
But people say Japan's lit, like it looked like the city, like technology's crazy.
It is. It's lit. Like Korea was lit technology wise. Like one thing about Korea that wasn't like the United, they had all of these like visual phones and all that. They had that back in 2005.
Man.
You were able, because you could get a cell phone in Korea, right?
Yeah.
You can connect it. And you can video chat somebody. That was back in 2004 when I was out there. The thing is, the difference between Korea and America is Korea, you buy things as is. You feel what I'm saying? There's no warranties. There's nothing like that. So you can spend $500, $600, and it'll work for 2 weeks, and that's the end of it.
No take backs.
No, none. See, in the United States, you get a year warranty on everything.
Yeah.
Remember, you got to wait for the technology because they testing it. They doing all this other stuff. Korea, they don't really test anything. They just throw shit out. Like every big building that I'm walking down, like these streets and everything else. And again, I don't know how it was with the Army, but us Air Force, we had curfews.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, so our curfew was, look, you can't leave off this base without a partner. I don't care if it's day or night. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, was that permanent station? Or are you talking about like just during basic?
No. This Korea, we only have one. So the Air Force only has one basic training campus. That's in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
If you Lackland Air Force, you're going to San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base.
Yeah, yeah.
Only base.
As far as Korea, I don't know if they had curfew. Once you're a permanent station, you ain't had no curfew. You just had to make sure you was at work. But I don't know if that's because it wasn't, you know, overseas.
Yeah, see, Korea was considered a hardship tour.
That makes sense.
Them hardship tours, you already know, nobody can visit you, you can't leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotta stay there for that year. So as a reward for you staying there that year, they give you a month of paid time off within the middle of your visit.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can basically go anywhere you want to after that. Choose wisely.
The Army has that too. Like, all right, we're gonna give you the shitty place, and we'll give you the next pick. But you're gonna do 4 years at what we tell you.
Oh, word! They don't do that.
And then when you get out of basic, I think, or is AIT one of those two?
Mm-hmm.
They say, give me your top four places you want to go, and we'll pick one. And it's usually the one you don't want to go to.
Right.
But I got lucky. I stayed in Carolina the whole time, which, again, hindsight, 2020, was bad because I thought I was Tupac. I was a little gangster, so
right.
Staying home with my friends and my gang. Probably one of the best.
Mine's was kind of crazy too, man. I kind of cheated. So what ended up happening was the military wasn't even on my mind. 1999, I wanted to go to college, went to Norfolk State University. That didn't work out.
When you said 1999, I was thinking about Chubb Rock.
1990, Chubb Rock jumps on one seat. 1999, I went to Norfolk State University. So I did about a year and a quarter. They messed up. This is when financial aid was on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we all had to line up and do it on paper, but they were trying to transition to computers.
Right? Yeah.
See, kids don't understand how hard FAFSA was back in the day.
They don't know.
13 pages, and they asking questions that you can't even comprehend. But what ended up happening was, they messed up my paperwork because it got lost. So now I'm thinking I'm going to be in my next semester, but I'm not. Right? They foreclosed on the house I was living in because I rented a room. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how that go. So I was renting out a room, $150 a month. Had my own room. We shared the kitchen. Everybody had a room. You know what I'm saying? Fun experience, right? So they like, yo, you about to be homeless. What you going to do? So I'm like, I ain't trying to go back home to New York and be under my mom's roof. I had a taste of being an adult living on my own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so what ended up happening, man, I'm sitting at this bus stop. So a recruiter comes across. Like, yo, what you going to do with your life? I'm like, I don't even know. He's like, yo, come take this test. I take the AVAS test, score 86. I was supposed to be a Marine at first. But I ain't like the way he was talking to me. You know what I'm saying? They was trying to intimidate me on signing the paperwork to go to basic training. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling that. So as soon as I leave, a young lady in the Air Force, she stops me. She pulls me in the office. She shows me all the jobs I can have. So I pick the job, do whatever I need to do, go back home to New York, and then leave out from Brooklyn. There's like an army base in Brooklyn or something like that.
I think it's like Fort Hamilton.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they sent me out from there. So from there, I go to basic training, do my basic training. They send me to school in Port Hueneme. You know where that's at?
Mm-hmm.
California.
Okay.
So I ain't never been. Now, mind you, I'm a New York kid.
Mm-hmm.
So from the day I was born to the day I turned 19, I've never been outside of New York City until I went to Virginia. So from Virginia, I go to basic training in San Antonio. From San Antonio, I'm now in Cali. I never been to Cali before. Now, Port Hueneme is between LA and San Diego. It's like 60 miles away from LA,
mm-hmm.
and like maybe 30 miles away from San Diego. So I'm in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, right? Didn't like it that much, but that's basic. But that's tech school. Tech school only lasts 8 weeks. My first duty station, and this is how I got it, because I wasn't supposed to go to Langley Air Force Base. I was supposed to go to Holloman, New Mexico. So me and a kid in class, and I could talk about this now, they can't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, yo, what base you got? I was like, yo, I got Holland, New Mexico. He was like, man, I got Laney Air Force Base, man. It's in Virginia. I was like, man, Virginia's dope. What's wrong with you? He was like, I don't want to go to Virginia. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to New Mexico. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, why don't we trade up? And he was like, I don't know. Maybe I need to try out Virginia. I said, yo, listen here. I give you $500 if we go ahead and trade up. That's illegal. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? But I was willing to take that chance because the instructor that I was that was instructing us in tech school, that was going to be my supervisor in Holloman, New Mexico. Me and him didn't like each other.
Yeah.
At all. Like, he hated on everything from my waves to the way that I talk to the way that I walk.
That's and, my idea, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing that made me upset was he's a black man talking about you have no business being in my Air Force. First of all, this ain't your Air Force, man. You forgot you black? You know what I'm saying? Like, didn't you understand about 30, 40 years ago they didn't give a fuck about you? Now all of a sudden this is your Air Force? You feel what I'm saying? But he would do little funny shit like there'd be a homeless person in a dumpster and shit like that. And he'd be like, yeah, look at you. That's you right there. Like, all
yeah,
right.
I had something like that. I actually wrote up on him, though.
Yeah. I mean, he used to be a thorn in my side. Like, he tried to get me in trouble. Like, they had me, they accused me of stealing cable. Mind you, cable was, it was all over the base. It just had to be, you know, just had to hit the button.
Yeah.
And, you know, look at cable. So they bought the MPs. They put me in like a little holding cell talking about, yeah, just admit it. You stole it, didn't you? Stole what? You stole cable. How can I steal something we already have? Stop playing with it. See, they do little funny things to try to get you all hemmed up and kicked out if they don't like you. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I knew real early I don't need to be here. Did my little 5 years and bounced. But yeah. Korea just made me stay, man. It would have.
Now it's crazy. Like, you touched a couple points I got to hit. So the ASVAB was crazy because I scored high. I was supposed to be a doctor.
See?
But I'm colorblind.
Oh, wow.
So when I took the test, they were like, what numbers you see? And I was like, stop playing. Ain't no numbers in there. And they're like, no, that's for real. We're like, what numbers do you see? I said, there's no numbers. Like, you fucking with me. And then they said, okay, hold on. And then they said, yeah, you're colorblind. And then they showed me. I was like, oh, shit. They said, yeah, you can't be a doctor, like, because you have to see colors.
Right.
They're like, you're going to have to pick something else. So I wasn't going to do artillery like my dad, because I wasn't trying to be in the field 24/7. So I was like, yo, I guess I do some admin shit, like some paper shit, some cool computers.
Hey, that's what I did.
Yeah, and then I ended up getting the top security clearance. So then I was like real super Gucci. But that's that one. The second one, and how you played them with the 500, I had a thing where when we were in AIT, which is a tech school, since I was in Carolina, I had a whip. Because obviously I'm from there, so I had a whip.
So they allowed you to have
one? No, well, obviously not.
Okay, I'm about to say. But
when we had the passes, whatever, I already had my dad like pull up the whip somewhere, and I would tell the people like, "Yo, for a certain amount of hours, I'll be the cab. Y'all gotta pay me, and right. I'll take you wherever you want to go, or I'll show you Carolina. But y'all got to pay me." So I was getting bread. So that was that. I can say that too because it don't matter because
it's matter, way past. Yeah, we good.
What was the third? Oh, the third one was about the dude I had. This dude was an ass. Like, I had like the slash in my eye like I always do. So he would try to check me. He wasn't even my boss. Like, he wasn't even nowhere near, like, on my side. But every time he would see me because I was fly, he would start to start shit. And then like, I guess my sideburns was a little too low than where it's supposed to be. So he would tell me that, right? And I'd be like, bro, your PFC got a full beard. Like, what are you talking to me about? Like, them things is barely like showing. Like, I wouldn't even get a facial hair like that. I was like, no. So what is you on, bro? So he would do that. Another story, I ended up going on base to the college, whatever, because I was doing a semester. I parked my car, like, you know how you pull up to the side real quick because you're running in, running out? So I did that, John, and he saw my car. He was like, yo, you need to move your shit.
I was like, what? And mind you, I'm part of the station. I'm in Carolina. Like, this is my city. Like, I'm gang gang. You know what I mean? I'm like, bro, who are you talking to? And he's like, I'm talking to you. I said, bro, you're not talking to me. Like, I'll be back. I left, came back, took off. I told my boy, right? Got arrested there, Paul. I said, bro, we got to check this nigga. Like, he trying me too hard. Like, I ain't with it. Me and him, on one of my off days, I rode up to his office with my boy, Paul. I said, yo, let me talk to you for a minute, bro. Came to the side. I said, I'm not with all this fucking with me shit. I was like, let me tell you what I know. I know you be at the NCO club on Friday and Saturday. I know what time you go there. I know where you live. I know where certain people that you like be at. Don't fuck with me, bro. Like, stop fucking with me. Like, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I'm pretty sure you don't want to talk to me, but I'm telling you, I'll get you hurt. Like, don't fuck with me. I ain't never had problems with that dude ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I know, bro, was like shocked knowing that I knew everywhere he was. Like, at the time, like, no cap. It was my city.
Right.
Like, I knew shit. So I was like, all right, don't fuck with me, bro. And then never heard from him again. But that was that. So, you know. But on a positive side, I do think if you're troubled or if you're confused on where to go in life, I think the military is a good starting ground for you.
Yeah, it's a good builder. You know what I'm saying? It teaches you structure. It mm-hmm. gives you a job. You feel what I'm saying? It basically teaches you discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It also teaches you how to deal with the corporate world too. You know what I'm saying? Because again, they just don't let you do whatever you want to do. You can't just speak to anybody. Yeah. Like, you gotta go through proper channels to get what you need. You feel what I'm saying? One thing I can say is the structure was something I didn't have at the time. You know what I'm saying? Because I would just get up and just be aimless.
I mean, I had structure because my dad was in the military, but I was like super rebel. So I my personal life, I had no structure. I didn't give a shit. Okay.
See, me, I didn't have no structure. Because we outside kids, you feel what I'm saying? Like, you know how it went when we was growing up, yo? We couldn't wait to be outside.
Word.
So what we would do is we would go in, do our homework, bullshit with the homework, whatever it is, da-da-da-da-da-do.
And we out.
Our books, we out.
Yeah.
And you know what? We didn't have any aim or nothing like that.
Nah.
All we had was, yo, we just going out. Whatever comes. Yep. See, the military ain't like that. You feel what I'm saying? It's structured. You wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, you put on the little tight shorts, you're gonna go ahead and exercise. After you exercise, you're gonna eat breakfast. After you eat breakfast, you actually in your barracks doing whatever you need to do, shining shoes until the next event comes. Next event is a marching contest. You see, you know what I'm saying? It's already laid out for you.
And when you think about it, it's fly if you lost, because you're getting paid to exercise.
Right.
You're getting paid and they feeding you. You got a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving it to you. You're going to have good credit because you're in the military, so they won't trust you. And you get paid the 1st and 15th.
Right.
So
all the time. And you get to have, what is it, 30 days paid leave?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
And you get medical, dental.
Right.
For like, family if you're married or whatever.
Right. So at the end of the day, man, it's...
You get more money if you have a family.
Yeah, that too. So,
that's why. But I just knew I didn't want to do it, though. Like G shit, I was telling people in high school and God, universe, whatever it is, like, I was right. Like, I knew I wanted to be a rapper and an entertainer when I was in, like, a youngin' son. Like, I used to run around in Michael Jackson gloves. I used to tell people in high school, and some of my high school cats now will tell you that, yeah, he did say that. I said, like, I'm going to rap, and I'm going to be in TV or movie, like, some kind of way. Like, I'm going to do it. And that was just always what I wanted to do. I did it. That's why when people, like, say shit or, like, you know, when you do the YouTube or the podcast shit now, even though they don't even know that, that's a hustle, too. When they try to downplay it over there, I'm like, bro, first of all, you're trolling. Second of all, there's nothing you can tell me, bro, because everything I wanted to do, TV, movie, magazine, shows, I did it all. Like, whoever you fantasizing about, like, not this generation, because I retired. But like old generation, when they were talking shit, whoever you was drooling over, I was probably with talking to. Like, you can't tell me nothing. You know what I mean? But let's lead that into how'd you get with We the Heart?
Woo, that's Gamo. I remember the day he did it. All right, so you want the long version or the short version? Which one you want?
Whatever you want to do.
So I got to give you the origin. So I met Gamo through Mike. Doughboy Fresh.
Okay.
Doughboy Fresh. So Doughboy Fresh, my
That's
best friend Nick.
an interesting relationship, especially now, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I hate that. You know what I'm saying? I hate it because they better together than they all split apart.
My
You know?
relationship kind of like that too, though.
Yeah, see, I don't like shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm cool now because bro, I'm old. So,
Yeah.
like, if you ain't physically touch me, I'm cool.
Yeah, of course. Like, and it's funny
The
how I
Mike
met.
Gummo, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how I met Mike, first of all. Because again, I didn't know Mike until my senior year in high school. Well, junior, senior year in high school. I watched his brother, something happened to him as I'm coming down the street. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like, you all right? So that's how I met Mike, and me and Mike became tight like that. Like, I'm family with Mike.
Yeah.
Like, it's been days where when we was growing up, he used to let me be at his house until 1 in the morning watching the baseball. He's the reason why I like baseball. You know
Okay.
what I'm saying? Because we watched the Yankees and whatnot. So he started.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, you know how that go.
Come on,
So,
Mets, baby, but go ahead.
oh, I'm sorry, man. You know, I'm from the
Yeah.
Bronx. You know how that go. Look,
I
look,
mean,
look. You know what I'm
we
saying?
was doing good to the baseball, but go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
So basically what ended up happening was, man, Mike, we were so close, we started trading albums like they was comic books. Me and my best friend Nick, like, you know, we would always trade albums. They would always come back to us, but we would always trade.
Yeah,
You
because
know
they
what I'm
have
saying?
CDs actually that
Correct. Like,
you
we used to just trade them. Like, you know what I'm saying? I still need my Roz class back. You know what I'm saying? The Rat Assassination. Got that one, but that's cool. But what ended up happening was Mike decided to like do this little rap group. It was him, Animosity at the time, which is Little, which is now
La?
La, which is La now.
Okay, I didn't know the animosity one, but okay.
Yeah. That was like the first name.
Yeah,
Like,
I like that. He cool as fuck.
yeah, that's my dude, man.
Smooth voice.
Yeah, of course. That's why I'm like, he's great on the hooks. Great on the hooks. Like, so they
Talking
were.
about the Rounders? The Rounders?
Nah, that was before the rounds.
Okay.
They came together and they were a group. They did something called the Sound. I think the Sound Pies or something like that. I heard a demo. It was dope.
Okay.
Real dope. Right? So after they was doing that, you know, I didn't really share my raps like that. I was kind of like hesitant because I was still kind of new to it. But they were forming a group and all that other stuff, and he started bringing people in. So as he brought people over, I started getting introduced and all that other stuff. Then I had to leave. You know what I'm saying? Because I did the college thing, right? As he was forming his group, the Rounders, Gold Group, whatever that was, he was forming that over there. I was in the beginning of it. Right there
You know
on
what year that was?
let's say again,
You know what year that was?
1998, 97,
Okay.
98.
Because I'm trying to see why we didn't cross paths, but all right, go ahead.
Yeah, 98 is when the last time Mike saw me was the winter, I would say, of 99, because I started working. You know, I worked at Access New York in Times Square. Yeah, so he really didn't see me after that. After that winter, as soon as spring came in, I left. I left, went right to college. And mind you, remember, I didn't really come back home. I went to the military. So after the military, I bump into Mike again. But now he's got a whole group. And the only two I recognize is him and La. Now they call the Rounders.
This is like 2000 now, right? 20-ish.
It's like 2004 or 2005,
Okay.
maybe 6, 7, something like that. Matter of fact, I was doing the UGA radio station. That's where I saw him. And
Yeah, I did the UEG too. That's crazy.
that's dope. We did that, and I'm like, oh shit, that's Mike. So I see they was doing some stuff, and I really like their music and all that. So I told them, I was like, yo, you know, I'm working on my first joint. I got this, that, and the third. Like, I need this dude and that dude. You feel what I'm saying? Which was Bleezy and Gamo at the time. And Mike was like, let me see what I could do. You know, we really doing some stuff over here. It's kind of, you know what I'm saying? Not blowing me off, but just letting me know, like, yo, we kind of busy, but if you got the beats, let's do it. So sent them over. I know Bleezy did a little something, but I never got the files. So I guess whatever was happening over there at the time, I didn't know. I didn't know that if there was a fallout or anything going out, the Gold Group thing didn't work. So I reached out to him.
So the Gold Group had to be after me.
Did
Well,
it?
it was towards the end of me. Because before that, we were RMG.
Right.
And that's when they say, well, certain people say that I put the battery back in the pack because they had tried some shit. It was semi like good, whatever. And then niggas just like stopped doing stuff, so it kind of died out. Then I came from Carolina, Florida, with like mad energy, and I was like, yo, we need to do this, we need to do this. I'm working on TV and film, like I know how to shoot, like I know what angles to look at. So then the shit started getting popping off again. It was RMG, everyone together. It was Angels with Dirty Faces. It was
Yep.
the Rounders. Then it was me. And then LOS. Los. And then LOS started going with Haron. It was Los and Haron. And then S-Star came in a little bit after.
Go
And then when the fall started happening with me and Mike, I was like, bro, I was telling Bleezy, I was like, bro, I'm good. Like, I'm already recording by myself because you showed me how to do it. Me and you cool, like me and Gamo cool, like whatever. Like I'll be RMG South, and y'all can do y'all thing, and I'll be here, whatever. And then I think that's when S-Star came in and they fucked the world.
Yep.
And I think that's when it became Gold Group.
Right. Now with now this to at this time, I think it was the fuck the world was just starting to come into fruition and everything else. Because I
Funny,
got a fuck the world
funny,
shirt.
funny story. I told these niggas, like I told, like I always was telling them, let's do a group, like a super group, because they were popping at the time. Nah, we can't do that. We're not gonna do that. So, all right, cool. Then this is another reason why I was mad. I was like, I'm good, Bleezy. Day four, fuck the world. No one even gave me, which was Mike's idea. No, after my idea, no one gave me the invite. No one said, yo, call Chance if you want to be part of the group. Nothing. They were like, just leave him solo. I was like, all right, cool. I'm gonna be solo then. I'll do my thing. But yeah, but it was originally my idea to be a super group. Bro, think about it. You got Bleezy, Gamo, S-Star. Yeah, that was it, right? Cause Lion and Billboard wouldn't do anything. So it was just them. Think about it. You have New York cats, and if you would have had one Southern cat in there. Well, I'm a New Yorker, but I grew up in the South, like half, like 50-50. So like you basically got like a Lil Wayne T.I. in your New York based group. Like, and I had dreads at the time, like crazy. So just imagine like what kind of appeal, like way out the box shit would've been crazy. But let kids out of the group anyway. Go ahead. So go group. Then but what happened with you?
Yeah, so after Gold Group, I started reaching out heavy. The reason why I started reaching out heavy, my first album, I already did it. I already accomplished what I needed to. I did a mixtape. So now I'm kind of comfortable with not just executively producing my joint, but putting rhymes together and coming out with it real fast. So now I'm working on my third project, which at this time is called Life, Living in a Fictional Environment.
I like that. Okay.
Yo, I gotta get these dudes on here. Like, because they family already. If they fuck with Mike, they family. So at the end of the day, I didn't know Gamo. You know what I'm saying? I did not know him. I had no idea who he was. So I kept reaching out to Mike because Mike was the key. I don't know these dudes. I know you, though. You know what I'm saying? So I would constantly hit up Mike, like, yo, Mike, what's up with your man? Oh, he not doing hip hop no more. Like, word. Understood. I get it. And he told me the reason why it's a lot of money, all that other stuff. And I said, yo, I feel him on that. Because I'm about to get his joint out too. because it's a lot of money, it's a lot of time, and then there's nothing really being reciprocated back.
And so, that's another reason I was pissed.
Right.
Instead of putting me in a super group where we all could have split the money like you guys were doing, you left me to do my own projects by myself with my own money. No one gave me money.
Right. See? And it's kind of hard to do something like that. You know what I'm saying? You got to be dedicated in it. Love.
Shoot the video.
Right.
By the beat.
Listen, man, it's crazy because the way you're saying it, I'm you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
That's probably why Gabo said, man, you're going to vibe on the interview.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm like the same thing you're talking about. I had to endure that too. Like, I got to, here, I'm in the South too, Georgia. I got my own group called Clip Kings. Love them dudes to death. We write, produce, we shoot our own videos, we write our own scripts, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I direct, Germicide, he shoots, we come together like Voltron. Mm-hmm. So I understand exactly what you're talking about.
That's funny too, because I called us Voltron.
Yeah, see, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, this game, you need to have people. You can't.
That's what I said.
You can't do this.
If we did a documentary, it'd be crazy because we legit could have went.
We still can. That's the crazy part. It's just
I'll be honest. I don't want to be a rapper no more. Niggas be dying.
No, you ain't gotta be a rapper no more. You know what I'm saying? Like at the
end, it's dangerous.
You can get money a different way.
Like I feel you.
Like, let me tell you an idea I have for my crew over here, the Clip Kings. I told them like, yo, German.
Yo, make sure you got it all patented and shit before you say it on. I don't want nobody to take it.
I don't care about that no more, man. You know what I'm saying? What it is, like, we were going to do something to where
you in GA now?
Huh?
You in GA now?
I can't hear you.
You in Georgia now?
Yeah. I live in Georgia.
Oh, I thought you was in New York. All right.
No, I live in Georgia. I visit New York frequently.
You know I used to live in Fort Stewart.
Okay. I see. I'm Soundview. Soundview, okay. Bronx. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, though, before we get back to that.
No, Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Say again?
I used to live in Fort Stewart, Georgia.
Okay, yeah. Fort Stewart's dope. I live in Ackworth right now.
Okay. I'm from Washington Heights.
Dope.
Go ahead, your idea.
Yeah, so I was telling them, like, yo, we need to make a documentary. But if we make a documentary where what we do is we rent a van and we drive from, we could choose whichever way we want to go. We either go East Coast to West Coast. And every stop we make, we got to find a place that we have to perform. You feel what I'm saying? It don't matter where it is. It could be a empty club. It could be on the side of the street. But anywhere where we stop for the night, we got to perform there. Whether it's open mic or whatever it is, and we document that. We could set up wherever we stand. We could set up a little white room where we sit down and we give our thoughts for the day. And then we take all of that and we'll give it to an editor, put it together, and we got this documentary where it looks like we actually got our own tour.
Mm-hmm.
But it shows you our trials and tribulations and what it's really like being a struggling artist trying to find a niche and an audience that will appreciate what you're doing. I said people relate and gravitate to that because they watching real shit.
And it's reality TV, basically.
Right, basically. And my dude was like, nah, let's not do that, man.
I like the idea. I don't know if I would do the performing part for me per se. I might hit maybe depending on, because you know you vibe out, you a little drunk, you might, but you know, I don't know.
Yo, this man said rappers be dying.
I mean, it's facts.
I ain't lying though. That's why I'm laughing.
But I do like the idea. It is dope. I thought you were talking about like a documentary. What happened with us? Because from what I hear, Gamo, I think, was saying that Doughboy is thinking about doing that.
I don't know. He hasn't really expressed
it. This is what Gamo told me. He said he thinks that Doughboy is trying to do that. But me and Gamo's thing was, but is the real story going to come out? Or is it going to be edited a certain way to where it really isn't what it was or why we fell out?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
I know. But I'm saying, it'd be a fly documentary because to me, we were literally, and I said, I use this all the time, we were like the Spanish Wu-Tang.
Yeah, y'all were. I knew y'all were going to go somewhere when I heard y'all do the rendition, I don't know if you were still around, but when they did the Big Pun Don't Want to Be a Player joint, when they redid that, I was like, yeah, they going somewhere with that. They really going somewhere. They did songs with Dave East.
That was the Fuck the World thing. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was Fuck the World. I was kind of doing my own thing then.
Yeah, so with that was dope. And I'm looking at them like, especially with the Angel with Dirty Faces, because...
Oh, I loved it. I wanted to be in that group so bad.
Yo, I tell Gamo this every single time I get... First thing I ask him is, yo, where's your album at, first of all? He'll tell you, like, I'll be like, hey, yo, you know I'm about to ask you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what, G? Where the album at? And here you go. It's coming, yo. Don't give me that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, don't give me that. Because right now, you got some of the most flyest songs I've ever heard that you're sitting on. Stop sitting on them, yo.
So I tell Gabo this all the time, son. And we've already talked about it. And he hit me up after the last interview with Rico. So we already squashed that out. But it's not like a diss. But he's like Lloyd Banks to me.
Yeah.
He got mad potential, but he just be slipping.
You know what, though? I know why. And it's not for me to say.
Yeah.
But the way me and him got close was... I remember I called him after that when Mike told me he wasn't doing it no more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got to get this dude back on track. Like, I don't know him, but I got a whole slew of beats. Because I waited, because, you know, Mike told me this, and I waited a couple of years to get in contact with Gamo. Because I didn't see him anymore. So all of a sudden, I see this video, and he rhyming. And I'm like, yo, that's dope. Is he rhyming again?
We're getting to the chicken?
Huh?
Getting to the chicken? No cap?
Nah. There was some joint where it's just him and some black background. And he was like, when he was like, some things come around, that like he was rhyming.
Oh, animals?
Like, I think so. I think. I didn't hear the whole thing. But when I saw him rhyme, I was like, oh, I got to get to him. Right? So I asked,
Doughboy
about getting in contact with Gamo. He didn't have his information on me. Now, mind you, I didn't know they were going through mm-hmm. whatever they were going through. So whatever. So I reached out on him on Facebook, Instagram. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I hit him on there. Gave me the number. I gave him a call. And I said, yo, listen, I got something for you. Let me know if you like it. If you don't, whatever. Sent it to him. Now, mind you, I got close to Bleazy first. Cause I sent Bleazy a track for my Jaded album, which is called Judged Amongst Demons, Entertained by Devils.
Yeah.
I sent Bleazy that. So a week later, as soon as I sent Bleazy that, and Bleazy was like, "Whoa, this beat is crazy. What you want me to do? Do whatever you need to do. Send it back." I sent Gamo a beat. Gamo hit me up, was like, "Oh shit, yo, you know I'm a blaze this, right?" I'm like, that's why I sent it to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After he was done with that, the difference between Bleazy and Gamo was I told Gamo, yo, that's your song. I've been sitting on this beat because I really originally years ago, I wanted you to do this. But I had no means of getting to you. The way we got close was I called him one day and I did not know this. Right. He was like grunting in the background. I'm like, yo, you all right? It was like, yeah, you know, I'm just getting my dialysis. I was like, dialysis?
Yeah, what do
you mean? Like, he was like, yeah, you ain't know I go through this? I was like, nah, I didn't. You feel what I'm saying? So now I'm starting to feel bad for like, yo, I didn't know dude was going through this. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so now I'm concerned about his health. So I call him almost every day. Just to check up on him, see, make sure he all right and all that. Like when he got his transplants, he got everything done. First thing I did was call him and we celebrate. I'm like, yo, you know what that mean, right? It's kale and pineapple juice. You know what I'm saying? Like I was like, a little bit of ice. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, you got a new lease, my nigga. We in there. And we've been close ever since.
No, but that's real shit though. I like that.
Yeah, man. Like,
that's how we weren't bad, but that's how we like definitely super passed it up because Bleazy had told me. I was like, oh yeah, let me reach out, make sure he's good.
Yeah.
But like We're two competitive people. So,
and I
always say what's on my mind. So sometimes it just, you know, hits people different. Like the story is, and I've said this too before, is the first thing I said to Autumn when we were in the studio is, you know, I'm nicer than all y'all niggas. But to me, it was a competitive thing. I wasn't saying personally I'm better.
Right. Of course.
But they didn't take it like that because I wasn't their people. So it definitely rubbed people wrong, but that's just who I am. But now it makes sense with you because no shade. But every time Gamma would send me jokes, I'm like, yo, bro, who is this man? Why is this always on your shit, bro? Like, I don't get it. And then, but now it makes sense because he was like essentially like, you know, day one.
Yeah, especially with Gamo, especially.
Yeah. Like,
me, I have a thing with Gamo. Like, because Gamo's nice, man. Like,
no, I
tell him, like, yo, you got to understand. Like,
I think you need to listen to me too, though. You know what I'm saying? So you really know who nice. But, I would say Gamo was nice. I think we're all nice.
Yeah. I need to hear some of you. Send me some of your stuff, man.
I got you.
I know you don't round no more, but I'm going to have to get you on something.
Yo, that's the question I was going to ask. And this is the running joke because everyone that gets on that, they always tease the comeback. How do you get your beats? Are you making them?
No, I don't. That's one thing I wish I could do.
You got to have bad patience to make a beat.
Yeah, I know, but I probably could do it because I have the ear for it. And that's another thing.
But you have a team to give you beats?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
Or are you like buying them?
I'm buying them.
Oh, okay. Because I know you said you had the joy for Gamo.
I built relationships with these dudes. Like, one of my personal favorite ones is DJ Payne 1. I love that dude. That's my guy.
Yeah, bro. We're going to round. I'm coming back. Because I used to listen to my man, too.
Like DJ Payne 1, that's my guy. Like, I'll speak to him. Like, matter of fact, he produced a lot of the AM part of my EP.
I'm gonna tell you off air what kind of beats I want.
Yeah.
Because I don't want nobody trying to get my swag on.
Then no. I got So Special. So Special, I like them dudes. I discovered them on YouTube.
Yeah.
And So Special, they give you that live instrumentation, Rick Ross feel.
Okay.
Gamo likes when I bring him the NY bangers.
Yeah, I like everything. So I like New York shit. I love Southern shit. Yeah. I love rock and roll shit.
Okay. Like, see, I started getting into the trap a little bit with my style and everything else. Because, again, I'm in the South, too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trap artists that's really, really nice, yo.
Yeah.
And I know the lingo because I've been here for so long. You know what I'm saying?
That's one thing I'm going to say, like, if you don't like my rhymes, which is impossible, but if you don't, no one can say, I don't know how to pick a beat.
Right.
My beats is always on fire. That's the first thing I listen for. And when I hear it, it's like, can I say something on it? And once I know I can say something on it and I love it, the words just magically fall.
Right. That's what happened with me and Nip. The Nip track, he sent that to me. Mm-hmm. I was in the car writing that. And I'm up here like this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm writing it. And I had it done within an hour. And I recited it to him. And here's the funny part. The verse that's on Nip right now, that's not how it originally went. What ended up happening was I lost the flow because I wrote it so quick.
Yeah.
When I got to the studio to try to record it, I forgot the flow. So I had to rearrange words and put things together. And it still came out dope.
Yeah.
So when I was telling
you. It's probably meant to be this the second way.
Yeah, I guess so. But I missed the first way.
You can always remix it if you figure it back out.
Yeah. But. Again, it's so in tune and so ingrained in me now that I can't even remember the original.
Yeah, I get that.
So,
I like your album titles too. Like they always, that's like me too. Like they always mean something. First album was Underdog.
Yeah,
you already know why. Second album was, which is funny because like Gamo's album is coming out now. It's got the same meaning. My shit is audio art, and it was Starry Lights. It was a picture of Starry Lights. And it was, which is the, you know, what the fuck is his name? What is his name again? Anyway, whatever, the painter. I forgot his name. Dude that got his ear cut off.
Anyway. What's his name? Van Gogh.
Yeah, there you go. which is the same shit like Gamo has now, but it was audio art because it was supposed to say my music is art. So that was that one. Third one, I redid Pain and Music, the mixtape that the series I had, but I did album three. So I just made that album because, you know, I had some old shit like that I wanted to talk about. And then the last album that I did was Come As You Are, which is like Nirvana, but it was just, it was basically just saying, I'm everywhere I wanted to be now. So this is me.
Right, dope.
But they always had meanings like yours.
Yeah.
But I like the names though.
I always try to have some meaning. I always try to have some structure to a lot of my projects, man. I didn't get out of my comfort zone until I did From the AM to the PM. So what I did was I was trying to like get out of this comfort zone of just rhyming, right? So I was like, yo, why don't I come out with this joint called A Different Direction? That's what it was originally supposed to be called. So what I was going to do is I was going to make five hip-hop joints, five kind of like the singing joints, the singing thing. So I ended up doing it, but then I started like kind of like looking at the structure and everything else. I was like, yo, I don't have enough R&B songs on this side. I have too many hip hop songs on this side.
So you did like a Scorpion?
Hmm?
You did like a Scorpion?
What do you mean?
Like a Drake?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of did it like that, but I said, you know what? One thing I don't want to do is I don't want to disappoint my peers. So why don't I just make it into like either two LPs and I can release one in the daytime and one at night.
That's fine.
And I said, you know what? So I called it From the AM to the PM. So I said, well, how am I going to transition the day songs into night? Because, you know, the day ones is more extrovert, more outgoing, more energetic.
Yeah. Then
you get to night, it gets more introvert. You're self-reflective. You know, you're like partying type stuff. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, at the end, you're getting to the more self-reflective point. You know how you people get drunk and they want to start confessing their lives and start crying, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, so how am I going to do that? So I created this fictional radio show complete with commercials, yo. One of my favorite ones is I Know What You Did With Them $40 last summer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I had in the daytime, you know, you have the I had the mid-hour hunch, the hunch lunch type joint, where they talk about the traffic, everything else. So I had a radio station that would transition the songs like it was going from day to night.
That's fine.
It was a fun experience, man. And I actually did the PM where I did more singing than I did rhyming.
I can imagine what it would look like if we were still in the CD era and it was actually CDs, a double CD.
Mm-hmm.
I should have been fine.
I had like one side was the daytime of Atlanta and the other side was the nighttime of Atlanta. And boy, did I embody what Atlanta was looking for, because that first track, that's a trap strip, like you in a strip joint throwing up dollars and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was the only time I really could say I got out my comfort zone and I was nervous about it. You feel what I'm saying?
That's how you grow though.
Yeah, right, right. And I was like, you know what? I need to have that nervous feeling every time.
Because game time.
Right. I need to expand my horizons and my wings, because at the end of the day, the most successful ones are the ones that can adapt to whatever's being thrown their way. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a reason why Babyface got so many hits. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason why, like, M.O.P., you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They dope. But as far as versatility, can you imagine M.O.P. doing a song with Prince?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't envision that.
Prince is my favorite, too.
Yeah, he's dope. You know what I'm saying? Prince is another one, man. Like, he knows how to tailor his music to the times.
Let me ask you this, because I want to cut it, because we're at like an hour 15.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
So it's definitely going to be a part two coming up, because Gamo knew that we were going to talk. So I feel like if I don't cut it now, it's going to just keep going.
Yeah, whatever.
So before I do that, though, What's the latest thing you got going on now?
Right now, again, the uncomfortable feeling that I have, I'm actually doing an EP with every last We the Hard member. I got
Okay.
some with Rico. Now it's all gonna be different sounds. So what I did was I tailored each beat. Like what I told each member was, listen, I got these producers. We're only gonna use them. We're not gonna mix and match these beats. That's what makes it challenging. So pick these people and we'll go off for that. So with Rico, I got a Chase Run It Up. Chase Run It Up is more of the modern type hip hop. He does a lot of he does a lot of like strip music, the trap sound and all
But I
that.
like Rico. Rico's versatile. He can do whatever.
Right, see, that's what I'm saying. And I like Rico because of his voice. He can do that. You know what I'm saying? Rico also got the We the Hard brand clothing and all that other stuff. I like that's that flashy shit. You know what I'm saying? With Bleezy, I chose So Special with that. I like Bleez on that live instrumentation shit. You know what I'm saying? I like him on that. His voice is great with that. With Gamo, we still trying to decide. Gamo wants NY Bangers. I like NY Bangers. I like them a lot. I really, really do. But I think there's another set of producers that I like for that. So I just got to give it to him because he sounds that Jet Setter. Those are that Jet Setter. The people that produce that. I ain't gonna give no names. I give you that off the air. That produced that. That's what I want to use for his project with me and him.
There a
Like,
date for this? Is there a date for when it's coming out? Not yet.
not right now because it's three of them.
Oh,
So
that's cool. That means I can get on it too then. That's all.
yeah. Like, yo,
That's all I wanted to know.
yeah.
You
Like,
know
I
what I
don't
mean?
listen, man. This is love for me. So at the end of the day, I don't see no competition in what I love.
No, but I love that because I do get that from me. I do get that you love me. Like, I love music.
Yeah, I love doing this, man. I
Like,
love like
but
it.
it shows because you do. I love R&B. You love R&B. Like, I love music. Like, if a country song is banging, I'll listen to it. Like, I love music.
Yeah, I was just listening to that. I don't even know who everyone on their own that big black truck. That's my shit. You know what I'm saying? That's my shit. At the end of the day, like I was listening to Duran Duran. That Who Do You Love? That's my shit. If I
That.
hear will that beat.
I can't say. We got to talk off air. But yeah. All right. So let me ask you the rapid four questions so we can go and then I can talk to you off camera real quick.
Yeah.
So when I end it, and I'll make sure I put all these links in the description box so people know where to find you. So when I end it, I always give four rapid questions. First thing to come to your mind, tell me the answer. If you wasn't doing what you're doing now, what would you be doing?
Working at the hospital,
All right, like that.
working at the ER, working in the trauma unit.
But you kind of do that now, don't you?
Yeah. But I'll just be working it. Like you wouldn't even be speaking to me right now. I'll be in there.
Okay. I get it. I get it.
I'm
Because
saying,
you win it. I get it.
yeah.
Who influences you?
My kids, my wife, my family. You know what I'm saying?
Great answer.
Influenced me a lot.
Great answer. Kids, definitely.
Right.
And a good woman is great too.
Yeah, man.
Favorite
Now,
person?
the crazy part is I don't know how she put up with me, man. Like it's gotta be love. You know what I'm saying? Because
Or
me, I would left me a long time ago.
that's good. Love. You got a real one. What's a favorite curse word?
Mighty gone.
Okay, that's
That's
different.
my favorite. That's my favorite.
That's
That's my
different.
favorite.
We ain't had that one. That's a good one.
My favorite.
Last one. If you had any superpower, what would it be?
If I had any superpower, probably the read minds.
That's a good one. I thought you were gonna say healing because of the ER.
Yeah, I mean, I would, but I'm a
Well, reminds is good too, though.
read minds because that's a part of healing too. You know what I'm saying?
Because some people don't tell you what's really fucking with them.
Correct. Like they could tell I could heal you, but that's not gonna heal you for real. You know what I'm saying?
All right. What do you want to tell the people before you go?
Don't ever think you're too old to do something that you really dream of doing, yo. Do it. Just go out there and do it. Like, that's what basically stopped me. You know, I thought I was too old to do something. Yeah. You're never too old to do it. If I don't care if you're 70 years old, do it. You know what I'm saying? If you got dreams and aspirations, do it, yo. Like, they say we only live once. I don't agree with that. But you only live once in this body. You feel what I'm saying?
That'd be part two. So I said we only live once.
Yeah. Like, you see what I'm saying? That's part two. Your spirit exists forever.
Yeah.
But you only live once in this body. Like, if you dream of getting on a motorcycle and riding it for a little bit and you need training, go do it. You know what I'm saying? You want to learn a different language? Learn it. You know what I'm saying? You never too old.
They got Duolingo now.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Like,
that's what my kids do. I got one kid learning Spanish, the other kid learning Japanese.
See? Look at that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, just do it. Yo, you want to be a painter, but you can't paint shit. So what? Do it. Like, like what was it? Van Gogh, Picasso, all of them, their art was looked at as junk. Mm-hmm. Now, they legends now.
Legends.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
Yeah.
Gio, we definitely going to be back.
Of course, man. I'm here.
I'm putting this question box. Y'all already know what to do. Make sure y'all be yourselves. Me.
Nope. Love. Through the money, designer the drip. Don't got a cap on my spill as a kid. Bet on myself.